quality free operation. So my work is in the direction of this research theory for contextuality. So these people in Poland, they have derived a contextuality monotone based on relative entropy. And yesterday we heard about this other contextuality measure from Shane Stoller. And well, one of the ingredients you need for a research theory is free operations. And this is one of the ingredients that we need in a research theory of contextuality. And my poster will be about that. We have a physical, meaningful class of operations. And with this, we have an exclusive form for this, and we are able to prove that these relative entropy measures, one of them is monotonous under our free operations, and another one is not. And Shane's non-contextual fraction is also monotonous under our free operations. So if you want more details, you can go by my poster later on.
Okay, someone please go on between me and so that I can get you.
So my poster is model versus nothing arguments, which are lots of contextuality proofs that rest on the derivation of an inconsistent system of parity equations. We've just seen some examples of this. So the first formulation was due to Merman in 1990 to prove strong contextuality of the GZ state under Pauli measurements. And some recent work by Abramsky and others has provided a general framework for the formulation of such arguments in general sheaf theory. So showing that to any empirical model we can associate a linear theory and its inconsistency corresponds to an ABN argument. So in quantum mechanics, perhaps the most natural way to witness this kind of arguments is in stabilizer quantum mechanics. So this is the framework we focus on, and we provide a full characterization of nothing arguments for stabilizer states, which is based on a notion of AVN triple, which are elements of the Pauli group satisfying some non-trivial combinatorial properties. And thanks to these results, we show we characterize which states give rise to this kind of a very strong kind of contextuality. And we also show that every AVN argument can always be reduced to one concerning only three qubits, and that the equations corresponding to those three qubits can always be seen to, that they're always the same as the tripartite GZ model. We also use the combinatorial properties of AVN triples to derive a computational method to actually identify all the possible AVN arguments for sufficient small number of qubits. So that's all. Thank you very much.
So when you're finished, also if you have a supporting device, it should be included. And also, we're not supposed to clap.
So hi everyone, I'm Lorenzo. I'm going to talk about spectral model and contextuality as resource in quantum computation. And so spectral model is a non-contextual hidden variable model that wants to support the epistemic view of quantum mechanics. So quantum states as states of partial knowledge that an observer has about the deeper underlying reality. And the idea of the model is to reproduce quantum theory as a classical three-space inspired theory with the addition of a restriction on what the observer can know about the reality. And in spite of its classical flavor, it has shown that many phenomena that were thought to belong only to quantum theory can actually be reproduced in this model, like entanglement interpretation. I would say almost everything but contextuality, which is indeed arises as the inherent quantum feature. Moreover, it can be proven that this, the toy theory, is operationally equivalent to stabilizer quantum mechanics in all dimensions. And this can be proven by using gross degree functions, which are non-negative and covariant here. For qubit stabilizer quantum mechanics, it's not possible. So we describe sub-theories of the toy theory that are operationally equivalent to sub-theories of stabilizer quantum mechanics for qubits. And then we use these sub-theories to represent the non-contextual, classically simulable part of state injection schemes, where then the contextuality is injected with the magic state, which is a state that moves the computation to the quantum universality. So please come and find me to discuss this and the starting quantum computation. Thank you.
Okay, hi everybody. So my talk is going to be about an application of quantum conceptuality ideas to quantum thermodynamics. And the motivating idea is that there has been a lot of talking in quantum thermodynamics about quantum effects, but really very little illustrations of generally non-classicality in any sort of thermodynamic setting. So what I'm going to do here is to look at fluctuation theorems, which are an important result in non-equilibrium thermodynamics that basically characterize the probability that a given thermodynamic protocol requires some amount of work. And the three main results are that the sort of protocols that people look at right now in this sort of context, actually they have a limitation in the fact that they can all, the statistics that you can get out, they can all be explained by a non-contextually variable model. And the second one is that if you want to extend these protocols in a way that they can actually witness contextuality, you need to extend your notion of work probability to a work quasi-probability. So you need to have negativity there. And the third one is that actually one work quasi-distribution, quasi-probability that was already put forward in the literature, actually you can directly associate the negativity of this work probability with a proof of contextuality. So if you want to know more details about this, just come to the poster. Thank you very much.
This work is down in Sussex, and I'm now going to Drew, but my background is not in contextuality. So, but this poster on my work is just to provide you with a new concept or new quantification for incompatibility. In this conference, we're talking about a lot of incompatibility. There are different notions, I know. But the motivation is for us to find an easier way to define incompatibility, and most importantly, to quantify the incompatibility for more observables than two. So, in finding this one, we use a different notion, we use different tools, we use uncertainty relations to quantify the incompatibilities. And by doing this, actually, that the incompatibility as a quantification can be applied as an optimal bound of uncertainty relations, and it's very useful to entanglement detecting and EPS steering in many scenarios. This is just another perspective for understanding the inconvertibility of observables. If you want to know more to try to have a look about my poster, I sent the book.
In this poster, we are presenting a quantum distribution protocol whose security is proven by the monogamy of contextuality. So there are two parties, Alex and Bob, who want to share a security key, and they each have access to the KCB scenario of 5 observables should be present. We assume a third party eavesdropper who tries to gain some knowledge about the key, and we show that in order to do so, she has to violate the equality with Alex, but the principle of monogamy of contextuality forbids her to violate the equality too much without disturbing the correlations between Alice and Bob. So, if she does not violate the equality too much, she does not gain too much information about the key. And from this, we formulate a condition of security and we show that the protocol is unconditionally secure. So, if you are interested, please find me. Thank you.
topic is a bit removed from the aim of this, the goals of this conference. The main motivation is to embed many to party communication tasks in a network of many parties and try to optimize the quantum capacities or the capacities of that. In general, process theories, but like what we start off with is baby steps. So we see the simplest case in quantum theory between two parties where there are two communication tasks between the same two parties of either teleportation between Alice and Bob and Bob and Alice, or let's call it between Alice and Bob and Bob and Alice. So primarily what you would expect, the first solution you can think of is Alice and Bob need two EPR pairs, and in the case of say dense coding, you would need one qubit channel between Alice and Bob and one qubit channel between Bob and Alice. Instead, what we're doing here is we introduce Mukul and Vega in the so-called butterfly network, and Alice and Bob have to, the information flow between Alice and Bob is mediated through Mukul and Megha. And we are trying to optimize the channel between Mukul and Megha. So, what we show is that between Mukul and Megha, you need a single qubit channel for teleportation and a one qubit channel for dense coding. So, if the orange of the slide surprises you, come and talk to me at my question.
Okay, I'm David, and my poster is about state discrimination and non-contextuality inequalities. So, consider minimum error state discrimination. You're given one of two quantum states at random, and you're supposed to do some measurements to guess which state you were given. Now, the maximum probability with which you can succeed at that task is given in quantum theory by the Hellstrom measurement. So, the maximum probability is plotted here as a function of the overlap between the two states in quantum theory. In this paper, we find abound in any non-contextual ontological model on how well you can distinguish those two states. So that bound is given by this purple line here. And as you can see, in quantum theory, you can better discriminate two states than you can in a non-contextual ontological model. So this is a contextual advantage for state discrimination. The way that we derive these results uses some nice intuitive arguments that teach you something about what's non-classical about state discrimination in quantum theory. Then we upgrade this result, and we derive some experimentally robust noise non-contextuality inequalities. So in this case, we now have a noise parameter. We have, instead of a quantum overlap, we have an operationally defined overlap. And again, we want to find a bound on the success probability of discriminating these two states. So that bound is given by a non-contextuality inequality, which is shown as this bound here, this plane. And once again, you can see in quantum theory, you can better discriminate two states than you can in a non-contextual ontological model. So because state discrimination is a primitive for a lot of quantum information processing tasks, we hope that you can build on top of this result to use this contextual advantage for state discrimination to find contextual advantages for more higher-level tasks in quantum information processing. The way that we derive this result is actually really general. In fact, it's completely general. So if you have an arbitrary prepare and measure experiment and you want to find non-contextuality inequalities for it in the sense of a Speckens preparation or measurement non-contextuality, we know how to find the full set of necessary and sufficient inequalities. So if that's something that you'd like to apply to some scenarios of interest to you, come talk to me. Or if you have ideas for how to take our results and save
Would you know?
Hi, I'm Andrew. I'm not actually going to be talking about alternative assumptions of non-contextuality. I'm actually going to be talking about a question of how maximally or strongly contextual is quantum mechanics. So you can think the quotient spectral theorem is telling you that you can have a set of projectors, and it tells you can't, in a non-contextual way, give them one or zero assignments. So the question I'm trying to answer is, so how many of them can you give this non-contextual assignment to? What fraction of the projectors must necessarily be viewed as contextual? So by moving things into the orthogonality graph picture, I derive some bounds on what's quantum mechanically feasible, what's feasible in a general no disturbance theory, and there's a gap between these. If you want to know more, please come to the poster. Thank you.
So I will summarize it. I'm feeling a bit odd out because my work is not that much directly related to the contextuality. But I'm more here to attend the talks, but nevertheless, I'm presenting this. So my focus is on being characterizing the quantum correlations in the states like entangled state, non-classically correlated states, bound entangled states, so on, in an optimized way that's experimental friendly. So presently, I'm presenting detection of a non-classical witness via MAP and how in optimized way we did that on an NMR quantum information process. Right? And it's recently been published in theory, and if you're interested, please come to my post. Okay?
Hi, I'm Jeremy. So, judging the rationality of beliefs about the quantum world is a hard problem. I think this much is uncontroversial. To try to address this problem, it seems like it might be useful to appeal to a condition long thought to serve as a necessary condition for any sort of belief to be rational, namely the avoidance of Dutch books or betting strategies that cause agents to lose money no matter what the world is like. Now, in quantum foundation so far, Dutch book arguments have been applied to beliefs about the outcomes of measurements of quantum systems, but as far as I can tell, they haven't been applied to beliefs about the properties of quantum objects prior to measurement, like properties of electrons or protons. So I prove a theorem that has implications for both source beliefs, given finite dimensional Hilbert spaces, including two dimensional ones. If ideal beliefs are given by vector space, all inevitably born rule probabilities avoid Dutch books. This has implications for operational and realist interpretations of the logic of Hilbert lattices, or usual Birkhoff von Neumann quantum logic. For realist interpretations, I pose a trilemma for defenders of the eigenstate eigenvalue link, and I defend a main property or many values. And if you're interested in hearing more, there's a frequent on the archive and on finding.
Okay. In my first talk, I present a mathematical model of quantum interval values of this nature, to model the experimental imperfection and finite decision making. So, more specifically, I replace, since the any experiment must be finite decision, I replace the infinite decision real numbers by intervals, and then the probability of the disjoint event may not be equal to the probability of the probability of their union. And in this kind of model, we can show that the Cochran-Spaker theorem and Grating theorem is not whole in general. More specifically, there are some interval value probability measures which cannot be explained by any density matrix using Bohm rules. But if we approach into the consider infinitely precise version, then we can recover the Cochran-Spaker theorem and Grating theorem. And moreover, we can asymptotically recover, like compute the bound of establish the bound of when these two theorems hold in the finite decision situation. Yeah, and if you are interested, please help me. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Kevin Van Sutt. I'm a PhD candidate from the University of Ulm. As we know from the Bell-Cast theorem, we can't assign ontological or non-contextual values to operators that belong to a candidate set in forms some consistency. So in trying to understand this, we consider, well, if we can't assign ontological values to these operators, perhaps they're epistemic instead, and maybe we should be thinking about them as epistemic. So entropic dynamics, from the title, it's an inference-driven theory of, or inference-driven model of quantum mechanics, and I changed my title, so sorry about that. Inference-driven model of quantum mechanics, in which positions have definite yet unknown values, so in that sense they're non-contextual or ontological, but other observables like momentum, position, and spin don't have that same ontological requirement and are treated epistemically as useful parameters to quantify how a probability distribution might change the time or might change the space. So because they're epistemic, we find it a little more palatable to treat them contextually. And in that sense, I guess I call it a pseudo-contextual theory, but in my poster, a hybrid contextual theory having some observables which are non-contextual and some that are contextual. So I look at the Bell-Cast theorem and contextuality through this lens of entropic dynamics and try to gain some new perspectives. So please come back. Thanks.
Can we talk now?